metal roofing and metal buildings.
Snap to A-Rod. Rushes on. Has time. Looking. Throws middle. Yes. Got his man. Breaking free to the 50. He may go all the way to the 20 down the right side. It is Randall Cobb to
he's
the 5. To the end zone. To the touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Randall Cobb to the lead score.
That was crazy, as was the entire NFL weekend. I thought that was the highlight of all of the football that we had from Friday through today. We got two more NFL games coming up tonight. So the Packers looked dead with Aaron Rodgers injured, and they rallied somehow to win that game against the Bears, who are a lot better than I thought. Khalil Mack's impact was immediate and obviously noticeable. It is the Monsters of the Midday, Mark and Dusty. What's up, Dusty?
Not much. That was a crazy game, Mark. At halftime, it's 17-3. Khalil Mack is already going to get not just defensive MVP, but league MVP for the way he played in the first half. And the Bears look like geniuses for going to get him. The Packers season's over. I thought Aaron Rodgers was done for the year. Next thing you know, this dude comes out and he continues to show us that he is the best quarterback in football. He has a howitzer for an arm. And that was, I don't even know, that was off the charts as far as comebacks go in a you know, for a guy to come back off an injury and put that together when they needed it the most, that was ridiculous last night from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it was.
Chicago is in a frenzy today, I can assure you of that.
they're upset about, you know, with a chance to win at Lambeau Field, which hardly ever happens for the Bears. But the, you know, a couple of Super Bowl teams lose yesterday to teams that you would think they would beat, especially at home. The Saints get beat by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and give up a bunch of points. That was really it. I thought a huge surprise with Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Bucs. Then the Chargers losing home to the Chiefs, and it just shows you, I think, why the NFL is the most intriguing sport going right now. As you go into the season, I think it's easy to predict who's going to be what in other sports, baseball and basketball. But in football, it's so difficult to predict who's going to go to the Super Bowl every year. Teams can improve or they can regress very, very quickly. I thought that was the case. Again, like last night, I think the Bears looked to me that they could contend in that division. Not a bad team.
No, definitely a unbelievable defense. You know, my Super Bowl pick gives up 48, and I picked them a lot because of that defense. I mean, that was crazy. I'm hoping it's kind of similar to that Patriots-Chiefs game in the season opener last year when the Patriots just got housed by the Chiefs and their defense was awful, yet they still found a way to make it to the Super Bowl. But man, that was not a good sign at all. There were some great games yesterday. I thought Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. How about that connection, Mark? That was great. Fun to watch. Broncos, who was a team that I had sneaking in the playoffs. That was an impressive victory over Seattle, which was a really good game. You've been high on the Washington Redskins, and they absolutely beat down the Arizona Cardinals. So I mean, it was. I don't know, man. The NFL. I'm with you. I mean. From a competitive standpoint, there's no competitive balance like you see in the National Football League week by week.
And I also picked the Cowboys. I was wrong on that. The defense, though, is clearly the better side of the ball in Dallas. I think their defense is okay. I think the offensive line isn't what it was. They've had some attrition since the Ezekiel Elliott rookie season when they were so dominant. Dusty, they don't have playmakers. They've got to find some playmakers on that side of the football.
Their offense was terrible yesterday. It was tough to watch. Their offensive line's not as good without Travis Frederick, okay? They don't have playmakers outside. Dak Prescott was off yesterday. He looked like junk. I mean, Carolina just beat them up yesterday, Mark. I know that they had a chance with the ball to, you know, to go down and score late and maybe pull off a miracle. That's fine, but that kind of mass, what I saw is just a bad offense. And why is Ezekiel Elliott only getting 15 carries, Mark? Since when was that the recipe for success for the Cowboys?
It hasn't
been.
This is a team,
okay, that has, what, 3 first-round picks on their offensive line, just been a second-round pick, and Connor Williams. I know Travis Frederick's out, but you've dedicated so many resources to your offensive line, and you take Zeke Elliott in the top 5. You've got 4 first-round picks in your running game between your offensive line and your running back. And you want to give him 15 carries? I thought they saved him all preseason so he could be a bell cow. I don't know. I didn't understand the game plan, the philosophy. That looked bad on Jason Garrett and the Dallas Cowboys offensively yesterday. And to tell you what, Rod Marinelli and their defense deserve some credit because the only reason they're even in that game was because their defense stepped up and played pretty well.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys defense is legitimately better. They're legitimately better. But the offense, it wasn't very good, and a division which looks like it's going to be pretty tough. I don't think there's any gimme weeks. Man, if Peyton Manning would, I mean, if Eli Manning would have had a little bit better game yesterday, they would have had a chance against the Jaguars.
Saquon Barkley looked pretty good, huh? I think he's gonna make it in this league.
He had a good debut. Alvin Kamara had a big day, of course, huge with the day. Saints and a loss. Tyreek Hill also had a big performance. So there was a lot of guys.
James Conner put up some fantasy points yesterday. Hey, by the way, speaking of which, you had called that game for quite some time as a potential Browns winning the game. They don't win the game, but they do tie it 21-21. I don't know if you heard me last hour. My biggest takeaway from that, and again, I didn't watch all the game. I saw the highlights and kind of followed it. We had scrimmages yesterday, Mark. The flag football season is officially underway in Norman. So I didn't get a chance to see all the action. But I guess my biggest question is, how do you win the turnover battle plus five and you don't win the game?
By doing the things that they do, by doing the things that the Browns do, missing a field goal at the end of the game. Just what they do.
They got it blocked.
Blocked. Miss.
Shotgun snap, Big Ben. Shotgun snap, Big Ben's got it. Back to pass, looks, runs out of the pocket. Loads it up, fires down the field. Joe Schobert knocked it away from Justin Hunter, and the game is over.
This is the end of the game.
A 21-21 tie.
Which, by the way, I'm glad that you played that missile. All it does is continue to infuriate the fact that we have ties in professional football. This ain't soccer, okay? Give me a damn winner. Can't stand that they have ties in the National Football League. What a joke.
if you're the Browns, I think you take the tie. I mean, I know you're upset about it, but it's better than the results that they've been getting. It wasn't a loss. So we have to factor that in now to Hugh Jackson's record.
Tyrod Taylor was 15 of 40, Mark. I don't know, man.
He ran well.
You guys know that was the Browns' best start to a season since 2004?
That's awesome. That's great.
It's a good stat.
Their defense. Hey, Denzel Ward, it was impressive. I'll say that. They caught some heat for taking him over Bradley Chubb. But, man, what a debut he had with a couple of picks. I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a better start than what they've had in a while, but if their offense had any type of pulse whatsoever, they would have won that game.
All right, today on the show, we will have Brian Urlacher in the 1 o'clock hour. We will also have Jake Trotter. It was a good weekend for both the Sooners and the Cowboys. It was a tough weekend for Oklahoma with the loss of Rodney Anderson to a torn ACL. That's devastating, Dusty, for the offense and for him personally.
Oh, man, I would say, more devastating for him personally than for the offense. I mean, this is a guy who's battled back from two, pretty nasty injuries. Shattered his ankle, broke his neck, and he comes back to, having arguably the best second half of the season for a running back in college football last year, and got a glimpse of him this year. He looked even better and was primed. Mel Kiper's got him as a 17th best player in his draft board, and in the little bit we saw him a week ago, I mean, it just seemed like this guy was primed for a special season. And then he goes down on a play that he really doesn't take a shot. It just, these things happen in football. I try to talk about it all the time. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. It just happens, and it's part of the sport. But I hate it for him, Mark, because I know how good of a kid he is. I know how hard he's worked to overcome those other injuries and put himself in this great position. And it's just, you just kind of feel like this kid can't catch a break. Oklahoma, he's their best offensive player. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, he is. So this is a loss for them, but they do have depth in the running back room. It's not going to be the same without him, but I still think that they're good enough, especially if that defense keeps humming, to win the Big 12 and get themselves in a position to play in the college football playoff. But there's no way to minimize, the loss of arguably your most talented and best player offensively. It's definitely not a good thing for Oklahoma, but I got to tell you, I feel more for Rodney Anderson, the young man, than I do how it affects the team on the field.
Well, they're deep everywhere. They've got a ton of depth at that position. They're also deep at other positions on offense. But that really is a tough break because he's the best of those guys. I think it's easy to see that. But I thought Oklahoma played well, Dusty. It's a good game for them. UCLA is, they are finding their way on offense. The defense looked good again. They were pretty active. Special teams was good again this week, which is not something that we've seen out of OU. That's an area that's improved quite a bit. And I thought Kyler Murray was a, dual threat as he is billed to be.
You hit on just about all of it. The defense is my biggest takeaway. 12 tackles for loss, 6 sacks. When was the last time that happened against a Power 5 opponent, Mark? I mean, it just hasn't happened around here, right? They just haven't been playing on the other side of the football. They hadn't been flying around the way that you've seen Oklahoma the last couple of weeks. So I thought that was a great sign. And just so many guys were active. Mark, I thought that the two Jacks that are trying to replace Obo, Ryan Jones and Mark Jackson, were both really good. That was a good sight to see. Kenneth Murray, after having no tackles, that was going to change very quickly. He had a sack and a couple tackles for loss, so I thought he looked much improved. Curtis Bolton continues to look pretty good at that linebacker spot. We also saw, Mike Stoops was bringing some different pressures. He was bringing corners off the edge that were getting home. So, I thought the guys up front, the defensive lineman, Neville Gallimore, was absolutely ragdoll in that center pretty much the entire day. Monty Bledsoe had a good day, Ronnie Perkins. So, I mean, it was good to see an Oklahoma front seven that started to establish a new line of scrimmage and be able to make some plays. And CeeDee Lamb, he's special, Mark. I mean, that kid is a matchup nightmare. He can go up and elevate and get the ball, as we saw in the touchdown catch, and he can also make some of those acrobatic catches like he almost pulled off on the sidelines. Kyler Murray, you have to be extremely impressed with what you've seen from him. My guess would be, Mark, as we saw in that game, his role as a runner increased. We saw some actual quarterback call plays. I mean, there was a quarterback counter in there, saw a speed option in there, so different ways, to utilize his skill set. And you would just think that with Rodney Anderson going down, that's not going to go away. Also, I thought Sutton looked really good running the football, Mark. He had a couple really nice runs. Marcellus Sutton, who's kind of that change of pace back. He's smaller, but obviously his role is about to increase now with Rodney Anderson's absence.
Huge burst. He can really, he's got a great explosiveness. Oklahoma State did not run the football well. I think that's the biggest area of concern after two games. 3 yards and change of carry against South Alabama. I thought it should be better than that. Cornelius, I would give him a grade of improvement, but I don't think that it was a drastic improvement. He did make a couple of mistakes. And it looks like of the two schools, the quarterback play as close to the same as last year in Norman as opposed to where it is in Stillwater. There's been a drop-off from what Mason Rudolph provided for that offense. I do think the Cowboys' defense is good. I think this week's game against Boise, Dusty's going to be a low score, because I think the Cowboys have the advantage when they are on the defensive side of the ball, and Boise State's defense is going to be the first one that's come to Stillwater in a long time that I think can shut down Oklahoma State's offense.
Yeah, I'll buy that. What's the over-under on this game?
There's not one yet.
Oklahoma State's a 3.5-point favorite in Stillwater, which is about what you'd expect. It's going to be a great challenge and a great test, and I'm with you. I think the biggest thing for me was this Oklahoma State offensive line, Mark. Two straight weeks, they struggled. South Alabama, 11 tackles for loss, Mark. South Alabama shouldn't be, being that disruptive and creating that much havoc on the other side of the football. So that is definitely an area of concern, especially with what's going to be a tough, physical, hard-nosed Boise State front that's going to come in and be by far their biggest challenge. Tyron Johnson, they got to keep getting in the ball. And Tylan Wallace, boy, is he got the chance to be a really good player. I thought those were two really good bright spots. Taylor Cornelius, listen, you're right. I don't like the two picks, and I'm not just blown away by his performance. But I walked away from that game, feeling better about him than I did the first game, Mark.
He was improved. He was improved.
He made some good passes down the field, which I didn't see a whole bunch of in the first game. So, plus booting him, he's a more athletic quarter. I mean, he's a decent athlete. I thought they got him outside the pocket a few times. And they did some nice things with him. So I was, again, not blown away by Taylor Cornelius, but I definitely think you got to feel better after this game than you did after week number one, and at least have some, some positive momentum heading into this Boise State matchup. The defense was really good, Mark. They completely shut down South Alabama.
Both coaches are meeting with the media today. Mike Gundy, let's welcome in the missile, who has sent us a picture. Mike Gundy is dressed in a referee's jersey today.
Yeah, he's wearing a referee jersey.
Do we know why?
I saw something about it might be because they're striping the stadium on Saturday.
They are striping the
stripes.
They are striping the stadium. The OU striping of the stadium, Dusty, was it was outstanding. Sometimes in a late night game when the crowd's coming back, I wonder about the level of intelligence of the OU crowd. But I'm going to give it up to them if they can stripe the stadium that well. So we'll see what the Cowboys have in them this week.
Very nice.
Is it going to be black and white striping?
No, it's not going to be black and white striping.
I think it's orange and white.
Black and orange, right?
We see we can't come to an agreement on what the striping's color going to be. I would think that it would be orange and white. But black and orange could be pretty good striping.
I think black and orange would look pretty good. I was more intrigued by the smoothie that Mike Gundy was very... Did you see his post-game presser, Mark, and he was working the smoothie? And I think it might have been... I don't know. I think it might have been leaded as opposed to unleaded.
There are no coincidences.
Really hard for me to tell from down there. Best way is to watch the TV. I can watch a lot more and see it, but it looks bad when the head coach is always watching the big screen and not watching the game. But it's more interesting. This is really good, too. I mean, this is Tropical Smoothie Cafe. I'd have brought a lot to share. Throw a little vodka in there, it would have been a lot better. I have a ride home for everybody out there. So, I mean, I'm not driving, so.
Okay, so, by the way, he just let him go. Put the mic in front of him. He don't care no more. So is he basically admitting that he had vodka in the smoothie, Mark? Because at first he said, throw a little vodka in there, it tastes even better. But then he basically let everybody know, don't worry. Yeah, I'm drinking, but I'm not driving anywhere. Was he just admitting to drinking while doing a press conference?
You won't know anything about this, Dusty. Smoothies are too healthy for me, so I don't really routinely go to the smoothie. I don't like the texture of it, and it's got fruit, a lot of fruit, and I try to limit my intake of fruit. I do, however, combine vodka with some things, and it is a delicious taste. Cranberry juice is nice. Orange juice is pretty good. Sometimes a nice, crisp soda water works very well, too. So I don't know why that you would put vodka in a smoothie. I don't get that. But I think that you never let the facts get in the way of a good story. And that was a good story. So I don't know whether he had vodka in there or not. I'm going to think that he didn't.
What's so good about it is if you see the video, like he's up there at the mic and he's talking to the reporters, but the whole time he's looking down at this smoothie and he's got this straw and he's kind of stirring it. And I mean, he's answering the question, but he doesn't give a crap about the question. He just wants to get into talking about the smoothie. So I that made me laugh. I really enjoyed that from Mike Gundy the other night. Hey, one thing before we hit this break, Mark. We owe an apology to somebody. And I say we. I think it's really, I would say like 95% of anyone and everyone who's in the media. Do you know that
someone University of Kansas football team?
Well, I don't think anybody owes them an apology. I
mean, okay, like, all right.
It's about time they won a game. No. This is a coach. Is there a coach you can think of that everybody was unbelievably wrong about?
Herm Edwards.
That's a ding. Give me a ding, Missile. How about that win by Herm Edwards,
Missile went
man?
Mano against me on that pick, and he won. Michigan State, they should be embarrassed.
I give it up to Herm Edwards, man. He took a lot of crap from everybody. He was basically the laughing stock and the butt of every joke as it came to college football. And I kind of jumped in on the party at the end. I didn't know exactly how it would work. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. It didn't seem like it was going to work. And then whenever he came on our show and he was, less than what I would call a quality guess, it made me kind of say, you know what, I'm not going to back Herm no more. But I will give the man his credit because no one gave him a shot outside the Missile this week. No one gave him a shot coming into the season. And here he is, has Arizona State, albeit early, but he has him in the top 25. So I think Herm Edwards proved a lot of people wrong, at least initially early. And I think he does deserve quite a bit of credit here today.
Devil's Digest, huh?
2-0. All right, that's good. The rest of the Pac-12 South does not look strong. Colorado to get a win at Nebraska, but I don't know if that means that they're going to be at the top of that division. We will tell you about our picks next. Who won? Who lost?
Snap is good. That's it.
The missile getting over on me on that game. I had Michigan State. He had Arizona State. So that will lead off the segment today. I need to tell you that I am at AutoMax Hyundai in Norman, the number one Hyundai dealer in the city. You could take $6,000 off new Elantras here, $6,000 off the new Sonata, and $7,000 off of the new Santa Fe. They have over 300 to choose from here on the lot today in Norman. We're between Maine and Robinson on the east side of Interstate 35. All right. Well, it wasn't such a good week. All of our locks go down in flames. Kansas State, I love them from early on in the week. I love them since Tuesday. Dusty was in Manhattan to see the fact that Kansas State laid a huge egg. They couldn't do anything. Move the football, stop the opponent. It was ugly.
It's Gerald over the middle. Touchdown, Mississippi State, Austin Williams.
They got beat down, dude. Like, oh, man, it was, you know, the score's 31-10, and they get an interception and score right quick to cut it to 14 points in the fourth quarter. And I thought the ensuing drive, you know, really kind of told the story of that football game. So they finally get it to respectable. The score gets to 24-10, and Mississippi State goes on an 8-play, 76-yard drive all on the ground in the end zone. And it was just like, boom. We're bigger, we're better, we're going to do whatever we want to you in your own stadium. And that's kind of the way that they went, Mark. They were outgained 538 to 213. And Mississippi State put up 384 on the ground. So I was, you know, I didn't think it'd be that bad, but I knew going in Mississippi State had much better players. But I don't know, Mark, if they don't get some things figured out quickly, it's going to be a long season in Manhattan.
I think Mississippi State's a good team. I thought they were a good team going into the game. I just thought that K-State would be able to pull out a win on the road, play competitively, and they didn't do it. A team that did play competitively at home against a better opponent that was going on the road was Texas A&M.
Precious picked up. Davis with another catch. He's got a first down. Did Davis stay on his feet? Headed to the corner. The ball flew out.
They're saying that it was a fumble through the end zone.
Missile and I were watching this together at Cat's Tavern on Saturday night. Thanks to all the people that came and hung out with us there. The way that the replay was, Dusty, the ball leaves the frame, the camera frame, and it's very difficult to get the three-dimensional view of that. And it looked to me like live that the ball clearly went out of bounds before it went into the end zone, which would have given Texas A&M the football right there on the goal line. They did come back and score. They missed a two-point conversion. I don't know if they score there and then get another score. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can only tell what the game is. But to me, the bottom line is that Texas A&M played very well in that game. They were good.
They screwed that call up. Let's just be honest. That was the wrong call. I felt Jimbo Fisher's pain. I mean, he was losing his mind, and he should have lost his mind because that was the wrong call. And I thought, based off what I saw, to me, it was definitive. Kellen Mond had a huge day, Mark. That's one thing that emerged from that game for A&M. They seem to have found their quarterback. He throws for 430 and three touchdowns and no picks on that vaunted Clemson defense. And, you know, clearly I just thought that the way they fought, hung around, and gave themselves a chance to win that game was really impressive. I'm not gonna be off Clemson now. I don't think that Clemson isn't still a good team. I just think Texas A&M's got good players. Obviously, we've been there, Mark, firsthand, and know how difficult that stadium can be to play in when the crowd really brings it and the Aggies show up. Their fan base shows up. So I don't think it was as much about what Clemson is it as it is much about Texas A&M. I think they're going to be a lot better under Jimbo Fisher than what probably maybe some people thought. Good showing.
They will be better. I think they're going to certainly be better in the future. I think it's going to take a while for him to get there. But
did anybody pick them? Did anybody ring the cash register on the
Aggies?
Way.
I would not have picked them. I would have laid the points.
Well, let me tell you about my awful game that I had as my lock of the week. Back to Texas stinking Longhorns, Mark, and they eke out a victory over Tulsa. I mean, Tulsa's coming down the stretch, and they got a chance in this game. And Texas goes up 21-0 in the first half, and then slowly but surely, Tulsa works their way back into this football game. I mean, once again, a very underwhelming, not impressive victory by the Texas Longhorns. That was, I don't know what to think of this USC game, but I know I apologize to the Tulsa fan base. I did not think you'd go down to Austin and be able to keep this game close. So well done by Philip Montgomery. It's not a win, but definitely a lot closer than I anticipated, Mark.
Another sweep giving the Texas defense issues. Into Texas territory. Skipper with time. He wants it all. He's got Johnson. Touchdown, Tulsa.
Yeah. Awful.
They're pretty excited. That Steve Levy was pretty excited that Tulsa was at least making it a game. Probably didn't figure that going in.
That wasn't Steve Levy.
Wasn't it? Was that?
That's like the resident Texas guy who's on the Longhorn Network.
Galindo?
Like Texas territory.
Galindo. Lowell Galindo.
Lowell. That's what it is. Lowell, yeah.
Right.
Don't do. You can't. I mean, come on, man. You can't do Steve Levy like that. Guy's been at ESPN for like a quarter century.
Lowell Galindo is the voice of the Texas Longhorn Network. How prestigious can that? I mean, that's a huge deal.
I guess I'm just saying, you don't think they'd put Brian Greasy, Steve Levy on Tulsa, Texas on the Longhorn Network, do you?
It's hard for me to see these guys from here. So I didn't know. I apologize. I tried to do too much there. Okay, what happened to the Gamecocks? You boys like the Cocks on last week?
Wait a second. You were trolling the missile and I on that pick, which I thought was very interesting. I didn't pick them. I said I liked the pick, but I didn't pick them as one of my picks. So why are you trolling me?
I thought that was both of your locks.
I had Texas. You can troll me on the Texas pick, but I didn't even pick that game.
I failed to recognize that. I've spent the last 72 hours thinking that was your lock, South Carolina.
Texas is back.
No, I'm just the horns. Well, I'll let the missile speak on his lock of the week. I thought he was on the right side of that, but clearly Georgia, really good football team, missile.
Well, they were limp. Nothing else you can really say there. Georgia dominated that game pretty much start to finish.
Their offense was lifeless.
Yeah, I knew it was good. Over. I knew it was the over the first drive of the game. First drive of the game. South Carolina quarterback throws a pass right over the middle. Receiver just drops it. Hits him right in the hands. Second pass of the game. Down the sideline. Receiver wide open. He's turned around on a little stop route. And ball pops out of his hands into a Georgia defender. Georgia runs it back for a touchdown. I knew that was that then.
I also lost
Jake Fromm 15-18. Mark 15-18. He was really.
I like
impressive.
Jake Fromm. I like Jake Fromm. I think he's an excellent quarterback. All right. I also lost the Liberty Flames against Army. We all picked UCLA correctly to cover the spread against Oklahoma. The game was kind of close and went down to the wire. I even picked the game exactly correct, 49-21 in the pregame show. So that will be my crowning achievement this year in score predictions. I might as well just stop.
Well done, Marcus.
Stop making those because it will not get any better than that.
We also all correctly picked the Oklahoma State Cowboys, an outright winner. Very nice. I like the pick six there late. That helps solidify the cover. My other win is I went 3-2 this week, 6-4 on the year, 0-2 in my locks. My locks suck. But I did have the TCU Horned Frogs, which after a slow start, they picked it up in the second half. They made me have to wait till the very end to get a cover. But the Frogs, as they won that, what is it, the something skillet? What is that?
Iron skillet. For?
Yeah, they iron won the skillet. Iron skillet, and they were able to get me a cover on Friday night. So that was nice.
Okay, a couple of other interesting notes from over the weekend. Kansas Jayhawks, the line crashed on the Jayhawks. They win easily. And, oh, by the way, Kansas is favored this week against Rutgers. Do you guys want to fade the Jayhawks as a favorite on conference?
That's
yeah,
back in Lawrence,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You ready to make that a pick?
No.
I don't know about that. I'll tell you one that I am thinking about making a pick right now. So here's some early lines, okay? This is an interesting line. LSU at Auburn, -10.5. Auburn's a favorite. Ohio State's a 12.5-point favorite against TCU in Arlington. Oklahoma State, 3.5-point favorite over Boise early. No line on Texas USC yet. Oklahoma, a 17-point favorite at Iowa State. Interestingly enough, Iowa State only mustered up 3 points against an Iowa defense over the weekend. The other game of note that's got my interest peaked, West Virginia at NC State, the Nears, only a 1-point favorite. I don't know. I understand. I
that's
get
surprising.
It, Mark. You're going to tell me that when there's an outlier like that, stay away, right? I mean, that's probably what you're
that's
telling
surprising.
Me. There's a reason that number is what it is. I just think West Virginia's really good. I think West Virginia's going to go into NC State, and they're going to win that football game.
They
I don't see them losing.
they haven't done anything that you would expect. It's it hasn't been good. I thought that they played pretty well.
It's 3.5 now.
It's 3.5 now?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going off of what I got this morning when the there was a bunch of stuff.
That's where it opened, but I think that line's going to move. I think that line will move in favor of West Virginia because, like you guys said, I think West Virginia is a better team. There was one other very, very awful performance this weekend. That was Arizona at Houston.
That one of my picks. Thank you for
not competitive. That game was 31-0 in the when it mattered, and I think Houston kind of dialed it back. And Arizona has got some decent players returning this season. So far, two games in, Kevin Sumlin needs to get his act together. Down there, or there's not going to be many wins on the schedule.
I'd say they've had as bad a start to the season as anybody in college football. With
yeah,
the expectation,
right.
A legitimate chance to win that division, the South. Khalil Tate, you know, he's a top 5-7 Heisman campaign heading into the season. They've been awful, Mark. I mean, Missile and I both had Arizona, which was a terrible pick. And, you know, give Major Applewhite and Houston a ton of credit. They throttled Arizona. Who would have thought as we sit here 2 weeks into the season that the coaching job that looks like the smart move was the one in Tempe, not Tucson?
Not I. I would not have thought that. It's kind of stunning to me that's happened so far. It is only two games left in the season. Arizona has not showed anything to say that they can they look like they're going to be able to get it turned around. But that was an impressive performance by the Sun Devils. I'll give them their due credit there. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to discuss today. The NFL certainly was outstanding yesterday. We got two games tonight. Can tell you what to watch for. Brian Urlacher coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, as well as Jake Trotter. This is the Monsters of the Midday on Automatic. I am fully aware.
Are you fully aroused?
No, I'm not aroused, but that was a great call. He was excited. Hollywood Brown is a big-time playmaker.
Yes, he is.
Show that the last couple of weeks. Big weapon for the OU offense. Man, they've come up with some receivers that have come in from some different places.
CeeDee right? Lamb any good?
CeeDee Lamb's good too.
Man. Pretty good 1-2 punch for Kyler Murray.
That's definitely the case. That the offense at OU is solid. Okay, anything else you want to get into here? We got a short segment before we get Brian and Jake on over the weekend. Did we miss anything?
I do. I just want to hear from a couple of the head coaches. You mentioned Oklahoma, very talented on offense. Obviously, we all know now that will be without Rodney Anderson. Here is Lincoln Riley after the game on losing his running back.
You know, we're lucky. Rodney's a great player, but we've got other good players in there. And honestly, play calling wise, design, all that, it's not going to change a whole lot. You know, we've got confidence in the guys that we have there. They all have, you know, dynamic skill sets. They can all run. They can all catch the ball. I've got no issue throwing the ball to any of them. They can all pass protect. And so that's part of the deal at that position. You know, it's a physical position, and you understand that that's part of the game, and we've worked hard to build the depth.
I don't think game plan changes, Mark, but you did lose your most talented running back. So, I mean, you know, maybe some of the production falls back. I do think Trey Sermon, I thought he's looked better than he did last year. He just looks a little bit more smooth, got a little bit more burst for me. So I've been, it's been good to see that for him. You've also, I thought Marcellus Sutton looked really good the other day, and expect to see quite a bit of TJ Pleasure. He was, you know, IMG Academy, big-time recruit, I think top 200 recruit in the country, one of the upper echelon running backs. He wasn't going to redshirt anyway, and you'd have to think that he's going to continue, his presence should continue to grow with this offense. Because though you like Marcellus Sutton, he's kind of more of a special package kind of back. He's just a little bit different, change of pace type of guy, whereas TJ Pleasure, I think, can fill more of that role that we saw with losing Rodney Anderson.
I agree. I think that the production, though, should stay the same. I mean, it has a lot to do. Look at these teams around the country that we talk about. USC, no offensive line. It's been a problem for them the last couple of seasons. They can't score. They got skill athletes out the you-know-what everywhere. They got a ton of them. They got NFL guys all over the field. But they don't have an offensive line that can't score. OU's got a great offensive line. They've got as good of an offensive line as there is in the country. So Rodney Anderson, there will be a drop-off to the other guys in that backfield, but they're all really good runners. So I think that the offense, to me, it's going to continue to be good. So I'm not concerned about that. I think there could be other losses that would be more damning on offense. One of which, what I think is that Marquise Brown's deep threat is so vital to stretching the field that you have to account for him, or he is going to get behind you. It's happened so many times If he were to go down, I think the field immediately becomes a little bit smaller for Oklahoma. So I think he's got to be a guy that stays out there on offense, and they can't afford to lose one or two guys on the offensive line. But as long as they don't do that, I think they're in great shape.
No, it's a good point. His vertical presence, it definitely helps out that rushing attack. I also think, just as we saw with Kyler Murray, some of the zone read game, some of the more quarterback run game, that could open up some things for the running game as well, Mark. So they're still going to be able to run the football effectively. But I would just say I don't think one individual is going to be able to replace that productivity.
Right.
You'll have to see that more so running back by committee. Let's go up to Stillwater. Speaking of the running game, we've already kind of talked about it, but Mike Gundy was not very happy with the way the Cowboys blocked on the run.
We're not run blocking very well. Run blocking was below average. Didn't give our guys a chance, really. They played a lot of low safeties. They were way down in there, blah, blah, blah. Same old, but allowed us to throw for a lot of yards. But we still don't run block well enough, in my opinion, to be successful in the long run. So we had a lot of improvement in that area.
They're going to need improvement this week, Mark. They will be challenged and will be tested against a much better Boise State front seven.
One of the great games of the weekend. That's a really good game.
I know. It's a game that had my fingers crossed. I was hoping I'd be able to get. And here's Mike Gundy talking about his quarterback, Taylor Cornelius.
Oh, he's better. Sure, yeah. He had a poor throw. If I was him, I would not scramble and ever throw to the right of the end zone again the rest of his career. I just run it. Two of his worst throws in his career have been that play. But he was a lot better tonight. He threw the ball good.
I agree with Mike Gundy, Mark. Again, I don't think that this guy's the second coming or going to be a great quarterback at Oklahoma State. But I did think Taylor Cornelius, I thought he looked much better throwing the football down the field week number two. So I do think there's some reason for optimism, and you would think that that's only going to continue to build the confidence of Taylor Cornelius now making his second start in college football.
Was anybody better than Mike Gundy in Stillwater, though, on Saturday? No, there wasn't.
I don't think so, yeah.
No one was better. Tylan Wallace
blah, blah,
was pretty
blah.
Good, though. He had
blah,
a nice
blah,
game.
Blah. I like that. Yeah, he was. Tyron Johnson, man, get that dude to Brock, Mark. I don't care if you want to do it on sweeps. I don't care. You want to get to him on a screen. You want to send him deep down the field. You want to go shallow crosser, man-to-man coverage, let him run away from the defense. I don't care. That guy needs a football. He's explosive. Explosive, explosive, explosive.
I bet the Cowboys have a few things hidden for Boise State. They've had no need to produce anything. Matter of fact, they barely even played Justice Hill.
Yep. They're not kidding about these about some of these carries. Chuba Hubbard had a really nice run. Saw some of his power and speed.
Has anyone seen the number on TCU Ohio State? Was Ohio State giving about 12?
12 and a half is what I saw this morning.
Oh, I nailed that one.
I had that
to myself.
That was whenever I saw West Virginia was only a one-point favorite, which has changed. Let's see what the current line is. Miss, if you got to go ahead and tell me, but I'm trying to track it down.
Also, do we have a kick time on the OU-Baylor game?
I don't think we do. OSU kicks at 6 o'clock for
yes,
the
both
week
games
four.
Kick at 6.
Both week games four, kick not at six, this week Saturday, four. The Saturday after.
Yeah, both games kick at 6 o'clock week four, Mark.
Okay, very good.
But that'll be Army.
That'll oh, you're Baylor. Correct. We gotta wait. We've gotta wait a couple more weeks for Baylor. You're right. Army. I didn't know the Army game, so my bad.
Okay.
All right, I'm trying to stretch
out.
I
do believe we're about 1:45. We'll have some audio today from Mike Gundy as well as Lincoln Riley. By the way, we've already mentioned Mike Gundy is in a full blown referee outfit up at the podium today in Stillwater. So Gundy may not have the. He may not have the curls anymore. He's trimmed the hair, but he's still having a good time in Stillwater, Mark.
I have a referee outfit in my closet. I could go with that. Should I wear it tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely. Why tomorrow? Go
you know
home
what,
and
though?
Put that bad boy on.
Well, the good news about this is that I've learned in the past is that vertical stripes are slimming, and so is black. Horizontal stripes, they do not accentuate the body. So maybe I just wear it every day. It'd be like Mike
Gundy.
Why
not, man? It'd be just like it'll be your uniform.
It's a conversation. It would be a conversation starter for sure. You don't see people at the grocery store, anywhere walking around, usually in referee's gear. usually referees are being escorted to and from places with protection.
TCU Ohio State is now at 13, opened at 10. I got to tell you, I like TCU as we sit here on Monday.
Well, that's probably the right side if I guessed it too high by a couple of points, because I think anybody that's on of the public would love Ohio State in that game. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's look really good.
TCU, I don't know if they're going to win that game, but I don't expect them just to get pushed around and get embarrassed. I think that they'll have a very representable performance in Arlington against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, they started slow, but they at least figured it out. Missile put the kibosh on Tiger Woods today. He let Dustin and I know that Tiger was one back at the BMW Championship. Tiger performed very well, but in this world, it's either you win or you're last place, as Ricky Bobby said. No first loser here. So Tiger Woods did not win this week, but had another good tournament. I'm sure I'll get to discuss that today at 2 o'clock.
I didn't watch any of the golf this week, and I was all football all the time. But Craig was saying that had he just putted a little bit better, he could have easily won this tournament. So I don't know what that means, but you know what they say, Mark. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. If some butts were candy nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, and maybe Tiger would have a win. But you are what the score says you are, Mark.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Brian Urlacher joins us next hour. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll get his picks. What a great opening weekend it was in the NFL. Jake Trotter also in the 1 p.m. hour. I'm here at AutoMax Hyundai in Norman. It's a great day on an AutoMax Monday where you can come in and take $7,000 off the new Santa Fe, $6,000 off the new Elantra, and $6,000 off the new Sonata. 300 new Hyundais to choose from here at I-30.
We had week number one. We have a double dip tonight on Monday Night Football. Jets at Detroit. The Sam Darnold era begins. Rams at Oakland. John Gruden back in the National Football League as we close up week number one in the NFL. Our Hunziker brothers' current situation. And we welcome to the show to continue the conversation about the National Football League. The gold jacket wearing Hall of Famer, Mr. Brian Urlacher. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, Dusty?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than Bears fans back in Chicago today.
Oh,
that was,
man.
That was a gut punch last night, bro.
Dude, we started out so good, you know, and then we didn't end the way we started.
I know it was a bad and disappointing result, but the performance was better than I thought. I think the Bears look like with Khalil Mack now.
What'd you expect?
I expected them to lose.
Well, I didn't expect them to lose. I expected them to play well. They did that. They just didn't finish.
Right.
You know, I think they got tired there in the second half with the no huddle and everything, you know. So I think they got tired. You could see it. They weren't rushing, you know, the way they were in the first half.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I don't know. I mean, where is he ranked for you, man? I mean, I don't know if he's Brady-esque, but I mean, as far as just the arm talent he has, is he as good as anybody you played against?
I'd take him over anybody in the league. I don't care. Anyone I played against, actually. I mean, the way he moves in the pocket, I know last night he didn't move as well because of his knee, but, I mean, you know the arm strength's there. You saw that throwing off his back foot all night long. And the one thing that I said this before, that he changes the game because of his mobility, you know, and I'll take him over anyone in the league, anyone I played against. He's that good.
They had a great stat on him last night. After 4 seconds in the pocket, you know, he's made more plays than anybody else.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
There were some very surprising results, though, Brian. I thought that the Saints are going to have a really nice season. It's tough to lose at home to the backup quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucs, giving up 45 points. That was maybe the most disappointing performance I thought of anyone yesterday, that's the Saints at home.
Yeah, they couldn't stop him. Fitz had it going, you know, and Fitz can do that. You know, he's done that throughout his career. People don't expect much out of him, and he feels like he always shows up when you don't expect him to. He can sling it. You saw that yesterday. But, yeah, I was really surprised that they got whooped the way they did there at home.
All right, before we talk any more about week number one, you weren't able to join us last week as we made our NFL prognostication. Just to give you an idea, my Super Bowl champion
–
was the New Orleans Saints who gave up 48 yesterday to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm feeling pretty dumb.
It's week one. It's week one.
I know it is. I thought the Saints did look better. So I need you to, now that you've had a chance to look at these teams, we're going to just hold you to the honor system that you're going to act as if you're making your picks not based off of what you saw yesterday, but based off of what you think will happen. Give me, quickly, in the NFC, give me your division winners in the NFC.
All right, I'm going to go with the Packers. Still, even they were my pick. After watching last night, I probably would have maybe went Minnesota's way, but I like the Packers in the NFC North. Who else we got? Let's see.
NFC South.
I'm still going with the Saints. I like the Saints. I think they'll rebound. Sean Payton's too good of a head coach. There's too much talent on that offense. You know, Drew's going to find a way to win for him. I think their defense will get it figured out.
NFC East.
Okay. NFC East. That's a tough one, man. How about even before season, I don't know who I'd have picked. I would have said Philly. I'm still going with Philly, I guess. I'm trying to think who's in the division. But I'm going to go Philly. I think they're still the best team. Their defense doesn't get enough credit. They look great on Thursday night, and I just see them getting better and better as the season goes on.
NFC West. Anybody beat the Rams?
No, I don't think anyone's going to beat the Rams. You know, they haven't played yet, but I mean, the talent they have on that team is phenomenal. I don't know how they pay everybody. You know, they got all these big names under contract, and they've somehow figured out how to keep them all there. Gurley's one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL, and they got all these guys, you know, on defense as well. So I feel like talent wise, that there's no reason that anyone should beat them in that division.
There's an interesting stat we cited here on the show a lot, Brian, is that in the NFC East, 13 consecutive years have not been a repeat division champion. Now, I agree the Eagles are loaded everywhere, but
I do like the Giants. The Giants showed me something yesterday too. I know they didn't look great, but their defense played pretty well. And I think that was a question for me about was their defense, but you know Saquon, he's just you know he had 100 yards against a really good defense yesterday.
When I was watching him against that defense yesterday, Dusty, I thought this guy's going to look a lot better when he plays some other defenses because Jacksonville's defense
You're right.
is good.
He's good. He's got some gears, man. He can go.
Okay, what about as far as wild cards? Who else sneaks in?
Minnesota's not going to sneak in. I think the NFC North will get two teams in. It'll be Minnesota and Green Bay, and then I think you got to go down to the South and either Carolina or Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta didn't look great on Thursday night, but, you know, they're playing the defending Super Bowl champs, a pretty good football team. So I think I'll go with Atlanta in the NFC South getting in.
Okay. Very similar to what we had around here.
Let me hear your picks. I'd love to hear your picks.
Okay, yeah, you got it. I got the New Orleans Saints. I actually had the Minnesota Vikings winning the division.
Okay.
I had the Philadelphia Eagles and the L.A. Rams, and I had Atlanta and Green Bay as my wild card. And I actually had, coming out of the wild card spot, I had Green Bay losing to New Orleans in the NFC Championship.
Wow, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about you? NFC Champion, what you got?
NFC Champion? Oh, man. You know, so much involved with that because, if Carson Wentz comes back, none of that stuff matters. But I'm going to go with Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're going to go back. I think there's, like I said, their defense is too good. They don't get enough credit. And then you know they're going to score points on offense, so I'm going to go with them.
Okay, Philadelphia Eagles. All right, let's go to the AFC. AFC East, the easiest division in all of football to pick.
AFC East, who's in that division? Is that the one with the Patriots?
That'd be the
Correct.
Patriots.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to take the Patriots.
Okay.
I mean, the other three teams, I don't feel like they ever win over 8 games apiece. You know, total. It's crazy. I felt bad for the Bills yesterday.
Are they the new worst team in football?
No, hell no. I don't understand why they started Peterman.
I don't either.
And they traded McKinnon. There's some things I don't understand about that. I mean, you draft the guy in the first round, play him. Over Peterman at least. I mean, they started Peterman last year. He did a good job. He threw 5 picks in the first half against San Diego. That was good. Anyway, I'm going with the Patriots in that division. That's the easy one.
AFC North, which I got to give it up to my man Mark. He had Baltimore. And he's been taking a little bit of a beating, but he looks pretty smart right now. I had Pittsburgh. Who wins the North, Brian?
I still stick with Pittsburgh. I think they're going to, they'll find it. They'll get it figured out during the season. Baltimore, I just don't. You don't know if you can trust them. I know they looked good yesterday because they played Buffalo, who's down right now. Hard time. I like Cleveland, man. I'm just so excited about what they're doing. I know they're tied, whatever, but I don't think they're going to have to win the division. But you saw what they could possibly do throughout the season.
Miles Garrett can rush the quarterback, dude.
How about the field was sloppy as hell, and he still looks like he's playing on turf.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, we had a lot of talk last week about Le'Veon Bell's situation, since we're talking this division. What'd you think about the way that some of the players called him out last week?
I didn't really pay attention to that, but, you know, I think they're getting frustrated that he's not there. You know, he's supposed to be the best running back in the NFL, or one of them, you know, him and Gurley are right up there. And I think they're kind of getting frustrated because, you know, he's making, what, $850 a game or $8-something a game.
Yep.
You know, that's a lot of bread. And I understand, you know, he's not going to be in Pittsburgh next year anyway. Whatever the situation may be, he won't be there. And I understand, I think, where Le'Veon's coming from, because when he does get there, they're going to run him. They're going to give him the ball, and they're going to beat him up. So I kind of see both sides of it. You know, you can see the business side, but you can also see the side of his teammates, like, getting here and help us win. But that was before they saw Connor step up on Sunday as well.
Is there a time you think that this will end? Is it just a matter of when he's ready to come in and when he thinks that the hits will be minimized? Because
one who knows him and his agent are the only ones who know that answer that question. Because it's what's the point? Why go now? You know, you've missed one game. Unless you're worried about the money. You know, I just don't know how you can pass up on $800,000+ a game. It's just crazy to me.
I said the exact same thing. Talk with Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher, breaking down the NFL, getting his picks. All right, AFC South, which has become a very competitive division.
AFC South. So we got Tennessee, Indianapolis. Who else? Oh, Houston.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville, yeah, for sure. They look good. I mean, their defense, I mean, I watched that Giants game a little bit yesterday when I was on the plane. And they go, man. Up front, they got some dudes that can get after it. Jalen Ramsey is a great corner. Their linebackers can run. They run the ball on offense. So I got to stick with them. I know Houston may be there at the end, but I'm gonna go Jacksonville as a repeat.
AFC West.
Division. That's a good division right there. That is a good division. I'm going to Kansas City. And I got the jump on you because we didn't know how Mahomes was going to do. You know, we saw yesterday what he was going to do. I really thought that San Diego would show up yesterday and maybe beat Kansas City, but Mahomes, man, that offense is explosive as hell.
What about Tyreek Hill? That kid can go a little bit, huh?
You think? I mean, every time he gets the ball, he has a chance. I would punt the ball out of bounds every time if he was back there. I would just kick it out of bounds and say, you know what, you're going to have a good field position, but you're not going to have a touchdown.
You know, a long time ago, Bob Stoops decided in a Bedlam game to kick it to him not once but twice. And that second one, he took it to the house, and that was a return that won Bedlam in Norman.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's really good.
You should have given him that advice a long time ago. That might have been handy.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can give anybody all the advice you want to, Dusty. If they don't listen, it doesn't matter.
No, that's right. Hey, we saw Dennis.
What Bob's saying to the radio right now if he's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're pretty tuned in every day to you guys.
Thanks. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for bringing that up again.
I'm sure he appreciates it. Hey, I watched Dennis Green. We watched Dennis Green continue to kick it to Devin Hester like a crazy man.
Yeah, you're right down the middle of the field. Remember that? He kicked it right down the middle. Devin catches it and just right back up the middle.
I also remember from that game, you got the lawnmower started and ripped the ball out that Peanut had a little scoop and score.
Yeah, we were good at the Super Score, weren't we? I gotta pick some wild card teams.
Yeah, what you got?
So, I'm gonna go with San Diego, who I really like this year. I thought they'd be better.
By the way,
their defense was not good. Go ahead.
They're in LA now, just so you know. There's not a San Diego. But,
oh crap, you're right. You know, I'm still saying San Diego. I don't care what it is. I'm going with the LA Chargers, but I'm still gonna say San Diego. And then we gotta get one more. Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Baltimore from the AFC. East? What? I don't know. I can't figure out what division
North.
They're in. I just know who's
they're
in the division. North. There you go. So that's who I'll take.
All right. So who wins the? You got? We heard your NFC winner. Who do you have winning the AFC?
It's so boring picking the Patriots. So I'm not going to. I'll take Kansas City.
Wow.
That's who I'm going to take. Yeah. First year starting quarterback, whatever. But I do like Andy Reid a whole bunch. I think he's a great, one of the best coaches in the NFL. And that's what I'm going with. They're going to come out of the AFC. So it's going to be Kansas City versus Philly in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm guessing you're going back-to-back repeat for the Philly special?
I am going to go with Philly.
Yeah, they're really good.
I mean, it's hard to pick against them. You know, they didn't have their best on Thursday night. And they're playing what I thought was a pretty good Atlanta team, and they still found a way to win.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a bad pick whatsoever. But
thanks, I'm glad you. I want to hear your picks.
I have New Orleans over New England. I've got Drew Brees, and I thought about this, and I don't know if it'll be right. We'll see. Obviously, it doesn't look good after week one. But if that does happen, Drew Brees would then have Super Bowl wins over Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and his stats are off the charts. I don't know if he gets enough credit for how great he's been in his career.
I agree with you. He's like the forgotten man. You always hear people talk about Brady and Manning and, you know, Rodgers, Matt Ryan. You never hear people talk about Drew Brees, and his numbers are incredible. I mean, his yardage wise and everything that he has, he's up there with the best of them.
Yeah. I picked the Packers and the Patriots to be in the Super Bowl, and I just kind of had buyer's remorse over it because it seems like that's so easy. But
I like that pick. You know, the Packers, my question for them coming into the season was their defense. You know, I was worried about them. I don't know a lot of the guys in their defense. I know up front they're pretty good, but I just didn't know about the secondary. The second half, they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, they got that guy Aaron Rodgers that can always keep them in games. Hey, what was last week? You know, I saw you on the Dan Patrick show. I saw you hanging out with Barstool Sports. I mean, you were all over the place, dude. What's up?
Well, you know, I was doing promoting some FanDuel stuff. They're doing this competition for FanDuel. It's called Gridiron Pick'em, and you go on there. It's free. You pick the winners for the week, just the winners, not even the spreads. All you have to do is pick winners, and whoever picks the best gets there's like $10,000 in prizes or something like that. So I was just promoting that, but I was everywhere. Yeah, I was in New York, running around all morning.
What are those Barstool sports cats like? Are they pretty cool? Did you enjoy hanging out with them?
So I don't know I didn't know what Barstool was before I got there. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. But those guys that I talked to were really funny. The guy's name is Big Cat, and the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was funny, the guy with the long ponytail. But, yeah, they were cool. You know, I guess I didn't know what to expect when I went in there, but the guys I spoke to were really, really funny guys.
It's your second favorite radio people to hang out with, right? Obviously.
You guys first, and Waddle and Sylvie are pretty high up there for me, too, in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I like Waddle and Sylvie. They do a great job.
Yeah, so you guys.
I mean, they're no monsters of the midday, but, you know.
No, I thought you guys remember one, it's not even close, and then the category way behind you guys, like five down, is Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, we like that. How many miles have you gotten in today on that bike?
I rode 19 this morning.
You didn't hurt yourself, did you?
I didn't fall. No. I'm being more careful. You know, there's a few times there I was trying to be crazy and trying to go super fast, and there's no reason for it. I just need to go out there and get in shape. Not try and break any records, just have fun.
Very good. Well, have fun. It's always fun having you on the show. We will be sure to remind you throughout the course of the season just how bad your picks wind up being.
My picks are going to be good, but anyway, thank you for having me on, Mark and Dusty. It's always a pleasure.
All right, there you
go. Thanks, Brian.
Bye, guys.
The Hall of Famer, the gold jacket wearing, Rolex wearing, Chicago Bear playing, Mr. Brian Urlacher. Always great him joining the show. Kansas City. Kind of came out of nowhere. I think that even though he tried to talk about it's only 1 week, Mark, I think he kind of fell in love yesterday watching Patrick Mahomes throw the rock to Tyreek Hill.
There is a lot more talk about Kansas City today than there was on Friday. A lot more. They've won nine straight games against the Chargers. It's going to be tough for the Chargers to get to the Super Bowl if they can't beat the Chiefs.
Was it tough for you to stomach listening to him talk about all those pleasantries about Andy Reid?
Well, wait till the playoffs. Andy Reid probably could win 16 games in the regular season and then lose in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know what the deal is with Andy Reid in the playoffs. You don't lose on your home field to Tennessee.
That should not happen. That should definitely not happen. All right, we went to the NFL. We're going to go to college football. Jake Trotter of ESPN joins the Monsters next. First, it is an AutoMax Monday. Marcus, tell me more.
You got that right. Here at AutoMax Hyundai in Norman, the number one Hyundai dealer in the city, and they are featuring new Hyundais today. 6,000 off the Elantra, 7,000 off the Santa Fe, and 6,000 off the Sonata. There's plenty to choose from on the lot today here. 300 new vehicles, so get in. They also have a great selection of pre-owned vehicles. We just saw a guy backing up on I-35. It was a very great interest to all of us in the dealership, Dusty. He was going backwards on the shoulder from the Robinson exit to the main exit. If that guy is listening right now, give us a call, and we will give you a free Johnny's Charcoal Broiler Burger for defying death today. The speculation was that his drive shaft had gone out, and so therefore he only had one gear, and it was reverse. Other than that, there was no reason to go backing up.
Wow, that sounds like such a skilled move. You would have had to gone to the ultimate school of driving.
That's what I'm saying.
You
know who?
Off.
Do you know who runs faster backwards and drives backwards better than anyone else?
Go!
It's the ultimate.
Oh, that's good stuff. Jake Trotter. Animal, Mr. Jake Trotter. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Dusty, Mark, Missile? How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're great.
Thanks for joining us.
I don't know exactly where you want to get started here today, but I guess we'll start with Rodney Anderson. Devastating news for a guy who looked like he'd have a chance to be a potential All-American, and who knows just how great a season could have been, but obviously it's over after suffering a knee injury on Saturday.
Yeah, I was down in Norman today. You know, that was the dominant topic. You know, people forget, you know, last season, Oklahoma, as good as the offense was throughout the season, you know, the Iowa State game, they could not run the ball. And they couldn't run the ball against the three-man front. And so Iowa State was able to drop back a bunch of dudes and basically shut down Oklahoma's offense in the second half, which was a big part of why the Cyclones won the game. Following week, Anderson becomes the primary running back, and he goes on to lead the country in yards from scrimmage the rest of the way, including 201 yards in the Rose Bowl. So this is not like an insignificant injury. And, you know, I've seen a lot of you fans on Twitter just sort of assume that Oklahoma is not going to miss a beat. And maybe that might be the case. I mean, we'll see. And I have a lot of confidence in Riley, and I think Kyler Murray's playing extremely well. And I think they've got, you know, talent at the position at running back still. But when you lose a top five player at a particular position nationally, that's a big loss. And this is a big loss for this OU offense.
What happened to Kyle Kemp? Why is he ruled out for this week?
Well, he had an ankle injury, suffered an ankle injury in the second half against Iowa, tried to play through it initially, really couldn't. You know, they went to Zeb Nolan late, couldn't move the ball at all, basically, at that point. Initially, they feared it was going to be pretty significant, the injury, but it sounds like it's just an ankle sprain, and they're calling him day-to-day, and they're saying it's up in the air as to whether he'll be able to play this weekend. And, you know, he was 15 to 21 passing, even though Iowa State had a, you know, hard time really moving the ball in that Iowa game. And I think Zeb Nolan, you know, has some talent. Oklahoma State fans will remember, you know, he moved the ball up and down the field against the Cowboys last year. But, you know, Kemp was the Sooner killer last year. He had the magic in that game. And if he's able to go, that would be a big lift for Iowa State.
Offensively, I mean, even without Kyle Kemp, though, I mean, they couldn't do anything against Iowa. You expect David Montgomery's going to be an even bigger, you know, central part of this offense against Oklahoma this week?
You know, they were hoping the offensive line would be better this year, and it wasn't really against Iowa. And then they just don't have, you know, the Alan Lazard type guy on the outside that they could throw the ball up to. Now, you know, they were hoping Hakeem Butler could be that guy, and he had a couple of grabs in the Iowa game, but really didn't have that much of an impact. So they just kind of, you know, and as well as their defense was playing, you know, I think they were careful about not taking too many chances. I think they'll open it up a little bit more this week against the Sooners, provided that Kemp is healthy. And, you know, they're going to give the ball to Montgomery, you know, 25 times a game and hope that they can control clock and get first downs and drive the ball down the field, which they were able to last year. But it's a different offense without Lazard. I mean, Lazard was a guy you really had to game plan against, and not sure they have that kind of wide receiver. But defensively, this is a really good Iowa State defense. They kept their team in the game in Iowa City. I mean, really through the fourth quarter, and Iowa only scored there at the end just because Iowa State couldn't move the ball at all. But really, it wasn't until the end that Iowa scored its, you know, first touchdown of the game. And, you know, anytime you go on the road and you can shut down an offense, I don't care how good it is, from a Power 5 league, I mean, I think that shows, you know, what they're capable of. And Lincoln Riley said today, this was the best tackling team we played all year, and that includes Georgia. So I think this is going to be a big test for Kyler Murray and company offensively, especially as they adjust without Rodney Anderson.
I think the offensive game plan last week for or last year for Iowa State, what worked so well was the screen pass game, where they got blockers out in front and good matchups on the OU defensive backs. But the OU defense has been much more they've been much more impressive through the first two games, playing with a little bit of pep than we saw, I thought, last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a little bit, you know, reticent to just to proclaim this defense improved because I did it last year after the Ohio State game and you know, they got burned down the stretch considerably. I do think that this OU defense is definitely more solid. They're better at corner. There's no doubt. I think Curtis Bolton has given them a lift at linebacker alongside Kenneth Murray. There's no question they're better up front along the defensive line. But, you know, I think the Florida Atlantic performance was nice. But UCLA, I mean, this UCLA offense, they're playing a true freshman quarterback. They haven't got any playmakers outside the tight end, you know, Chris Wilson's son. So, I mean, I'm a little bit cautious. I want to see more. But I think what we've seen so far has been really positive. And, you know, once they get into the Big 12 and they face the Oklahoma States and the West Virginias of the world, I think we'll have a much better feel for how good this defense is. But listen, you can't be anything but, excited if you're an OU fan about what you've seen from a defense that has been so inconsistent really for the last, you know, 7-8 years.
Hey, by the way, Chris Robinson, who didn't do anything in Norman, went 33 of 40 for 471 and 3 touchdowns on Saturday against Air Force.
It was against Air Force, but yeah, I mean, I think that shows that there was something to that performance against FAU. Right. Now, that was Robinson's first career start in Norman, too. So, I think it's been encouraging.
I thought his performance was weak, and I thought the UCLA quarterback's performance was weak. But the fact that he came back and had that good of a game, I think this OU defense, I know everybody wants to be patient with it, but it's clear to me they got some better players out there.
Better players.
They replaced veteran starters last year with rookies and freshmen, and those guys are back. I mean, I think that tells you more than anything that they got better players.
But they have yet to face like a legit offense yet, and so
they're going to give up points.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, I'm not on their schedule in front of me, and I don't know with Iowa State with Kemp hobbled. I mean, I don't know if you can put them on that list either, but. You know, I want to see them against a legit offense and how they fare. And I think that's something we're going to have to wait for.
How many legit offenses are there in the conference outside of West Virginia and Oklahoma? I mean, I think Oklahoma State might be.
Oklahoma State, maybe. I mean, they lead the country in total offense. I mean, they've played air, basically, these first 2 weeks. But they do lead the country in total offense. Oklahoma State's got, I mean, I don't know how good their quarterback is, Cornelius. We'll see this weekend.
He looked better, didn't you think, Jake? He looked better throwing the ball down the field?
Yeah, but, I mean, they've got dudes at receiver and running back, regardless of who the quarterback is. And I think TCU, you know, they've got a lot of firepower, too. You know, we'll see how Robinson progresses as well as a dual-threat guy. But he's an impressive runner at the very least. I think TCU and Oklahoma State might be in that conversation as well. But to your point, you guys are absolutely right. I mean, mediocrity central after the top four teams in the league offensively. Texas is a disaster again. Iowa State couldn't score a touchdown in their only game. I mean, Kansas State, Dusty.
I know.
Mark and I should be banned from the radio for a week after locking the Wildcats, as bad as Kansas State looked in that game. And part of it was Mississippi State. That's a dominant defense, but I mean that is Kansas State is not a good team right now.
I just want to say this. I'm equally as dumb. I'm gonna call myself dumb. I picked Texas to cover the 23 against Tulsa, which was just a disaster. But all I'll say is this. I spent all last week now Mark locked it on Tuesday, but I tried to talk him out of it. But if you listen to our show, which I hope you do, Jake, I was talking all week how I just really could not figure out how Kansas State was going to keep this thing close. Like, they're going to have a lot of things go their way. So, I mean, it's what I do for a living, and you guys wouldn't trust me. So I don't know what else to say. I was trying to throw out as much information to give you guys a good chance to pick right as possible.
Tulsa could have very easily beaten Texas. I mean, they missed three field goals.
I wish they would have beaten them.
They missed three field goals, and they had fourth and goal from the three and didn't even throw the ball in the end zone. You know, they were right there. Texas, I mean, I don't know how good USC is.
They're not very good.
They're not very good.
So, I mean, like, it wouldn't stun me if Texas actually won this weekend. But we know there's probably a great team in the Big 12 in Oklahoma. We think that there might be a really good to maybe a great team in West Virginia. We think that, you know, we'll see on Oklahoma State and TCU. I think we'll find out about both those teams this weekend. But after that, the Big 12 is just a dumpster fire for the most part.
I'll say this is, you know, and there's been some bad from the Big 12 so far. There's also been some good, but there's been some bad for sure. It's a great opportunity this weekend. It's either a great opportunity to further the narrative that the Big 12 isn't very good. If Boise State comes into Stillwater and gets a win and TCU gets run in Arlington, it's just going to be a bad look for the league. But there's also the opportunity for the Cowboys to get a nice marquee victory over a very well-respected Boise State team. And, I mean, TCU could gain some respect given how they play. So I think there's a lot to play for, and it could go one of two ways. It could be beneficial or it could be a detriment to the league.
The Big 12 needs three things to happen this weekend. They need West Virginia to not screw it up in Raleigh. They need Oklahoma State to beat Boise. And they need TCU to hang tough with Ohio State. I think if all those those three things happen, the Big 12 will be fine, because as many problems as the Big 12 has had, I mean, the ACC, Florida State had to rally to beat Samford. I mean, I don't know that there's one obviously elite team in Clemson. I mean, after that, it is not impressive. You know, we'll see on Virginia Tech and my preseason pick of the year, Boston College, to do some damage. But there are other conferences that have problems too. And I think as long as Oklahoma and West Virginia keep winning, then I think the Big 12 will be fine. But if NC State beats West Virginia and Oklahoma State loses at home to Boise, and you know Ohio State wins like 45-10 over TCU, that is going to be really, really bad for the league. And I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on Oklahoma to not lose. I mean, I think the margin for error for Oklahoma would shrink at that point.
The good news for Oklahoma is that no matter what the perception is, it looks like that they are pretty dominant. They've played great in the first two games, and the rest of the league doesn't look very good. This isn't 2016, though. There's not a perception problem with OU. OU has a very good reputation. They played well enough to be in the championship game last year, and I think people look at the program and see all of the veterans that they've got and the talent, and I think OU's going to get in the playoff if they go undefeated. One loss still is good.
Big 12 champion, I still think they'd be a tough team to keep out.
And they'd be
depending on what
out,
other
but,
things are
but listen, the
especially
SEC
because there's been so many other losses right now this year.
But hold on, the SEC champ is in, the ACC champ is in, the Big Ten champ is getting in over Oklahoma if all things are equal. In other words, if it's one loss teams. And then it would come down to Oklahoma, Pac-12 champ, Notre Dame. And I think Oklahoma would be in good shape at that point, but I mean, if Washington is sitting there at 12-1, and Oklahoma's at 12-1,
OU's in,
and Washington's one loss is to Auburn, and Oklahoma's one loss is to I don't know whoever, then I think that it could be tough. So, listen, I mean, I think Oklahoma goes 12-1 and takes care of business. You know, more times than not, they're going to be fine. But when your conference starts, you know, losing some of these games. Then in the case of a tiebreaker, tie is probably going to go to the conference that has the better overall resume. And right now, the Big 12 is teetering and could really teeter over if things go south this weekend.
Hey, by the way, this is a huge weekend for the league. I mean, we're saying that, but we said those three games. Texas USC is important too, guys. So, I mean, there's four marquee non-conference matchups this weekend. That again, it can go one of two ways. It's a great opportunity for the Big 12, or it can expose them for being a lesser conference. So, yeah. I do think that Oklahoma's kind of is a different conversation because they've already kind of, they've kind of already garnered that respect nationally for what they've done the last few years. But as far as putting together a quality resume, Oklahoma, anyone else in this league that wants to make the playoff, you need these teams to show up in these games. Because regardless of how well you're respected, your resume is your resume. And if Big 12 schools are losing all these games, it's going to be tough to muster up a quality resume at the end of the year when you're setting these things out and comparing them.
most years in the playoff, there's been an either or. It hasn't been an obvious four teams. I mean, it's either Ohio State or Alabama or Ohio State or Baylor, TCU. I mean, there have been choices put in front of the committee almost every year since the playoff was formed. So it's only going to help Oklahoma if the teams in the conference continue to win these non-conference games and or start winning these non-conference games. And I think if Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU all play well this weekend, I think that'll be really good for them, the Big 12, and then the Sooners as well.
Don't forget about Texas. Texas needs to at least show up and seem that they have a pulse.
I mean, I'm still waiting for Texas to show up to the 2018 season. Tom Herman was asked today, like, what he thinks about the fans thinking he's arrogant. I mean, that's at what point we are at
with the
situation in Austin.
Oh, boy. Hey, thanks, Jay. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again Wednesday.
Okay, fellas. See you.
The Iron Man of the Sports.
I wonder what the answer to that was. Let's see if we can find that.
I don't know.
That's got me intrigued.
Well, I'll tell you what has me intrigued, that it's an AutoMax Monday. Tell me more, Marcus.
I can understand why, Dusty, because they have deep discounts here, like $6,000 off the new Elantra, $6,000 off the new Sonata, $7,000 off the new Santa Fe, and they've got over 300 of them, a bunch here in the showroom floor. They're ready to make a deal for you here on a Monday. So come by and see us. They've got 300 cars to choose from, as we mentioned, a lot of pre-owns at AutoMax Hyundai in Norman, the number one Hyundai dealer in OKC.
All right, when we get back, we're going to hear from Lincoln Riley, Mike Gundy, as they took the podium. Mike Gundy today at his press conference talking about Boise State. He's right. A lot of tight ends they like to use in a run game. It's a physical running attack. Play action pass. Take their shots down the field. A lot of motions. A lot of shifts. Eye candy, as we like to talk about it, which means, you know, a lot of assignments will have to be cleaned up and gone over from Jim Knowles as he prepares his defense for this task this weekend with Boise State coming to town. By the way, on that call will be my former partner, Adam Amin, and Rod Gilmore. We'll have Adam tomorrow, 12:25, to break down the big matchup, top 25 matchup in Stillwater. Oklahoma State up to number 24, Oklahoma up to number 5 in the latest AP poll. It is an AutoMax Monday. Mark Rogers, what's going on?
Number one Hyundai dealer in Oklahoma City. You can take $6,000 off the Elantras and $6,000 off the Sonatas, $7,000 off the Santa Fe's, and there are a huge, huge inventory here to choose from, over 300 new cars, pre-owned vehicles. They've got a ton of them as well. We're located right off I-35. You can take either the main exit or the Robinson exit here in Norman. So come by and see us today. We'll be here till 3:00.
Try to get you some more audio quickly from both Stillwater and Norman. Mike Gundy talked about the tackling against the Jaguars on Saturday.
We did in the second half much better. So we have to tackle well. And it'll be that way every game from here on out. You see more missed tackles than ever because offenses are using 52 yards of the field. They're not playing in between the hash marks. So you see it at all levels. I watched last night late, I watched some NFL highlights. And he's a bad example, but just watch the guys trying to tackle Tyreek. And you look at yourself and say, that's an NFL player. There's guys at that level that are just hard to tackle. There's guys at this level that are hard to tackle.
Football is a game that's played in space now. I mean, that's what offensive coordinators are created, space. It's a space game, whereas it used to be a phone booth game. And he is right. Now, there's poor tackling for other reasons, but let's just face it. Being out in the middle of a bunch of space and having to tackle some of these crazy athletes in the open field, it ain't easy. But as he said, he thinks it needs to get better. It needs to get better each and every week. He also talked about his quarterback, Taylor Cornelius.
I haven't talked to him about him watching film of himself yet, but he's going to be as tough as critic. That's just the type of young man he is. And I'm sure you guys had a chance to interview him after the game, and whatever he says is pretty much what he feels. I would anticipate him getting a little better each week.
I thought he got a little bit better last week. I think it would behoove him and their offense if he got a little bit better this week as well. Let's go to Norman Lincoln Riley. He talks about Rodney Anderson and who's going to get some of the extra work with Anderson no longer in the lineup.
As the backs here go forward, it's just going to be based on performance, kind of like we were last year for a large part of the season. If all those guys are performing well but nobody is really just totally outplaying the other, then I'm sure we'll play a bunch of those guys. If we get a guy that gets hot or really starts playing at a high level, we'll certainly, you know, feed him more reps and with that more opportunities. So we feel good about those four.
There's reps out there, Marcus. There's reps out there. You got to. I mean, he's basically telling those guys, make the most of your opportunities, and you're going to get more of them.
They're talented.
So,
I think that depth chart last year it shook up. Remember, there were people that were calling for Trey Sermon upon Rodney Anderson's insertion into the lineup. Nobody was calling for Trey Sermon at the beginning of this season after the way Rodney Anderson finished last year.
No, Trey Sermon is going to have a great chance to – I think he'll be the first lead guy, T.J. Pleasure. We've seen Marcellus Sutton and also Kennedy Brooks. Riley also talked about Rodney Anderson's future.
Well, I fully expect that he'll play. You know, he'll probably have a decision to make of if it's going to be at this level or the next level. And, you know, that's you know, that'll be an interesting one, but one that, you know, certainly doesn't have to be made now.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier, Mark. I definitely think he's going to play football again. He's going to overcome this injury. I just don't really have any kind of feeling or even really want to offer up a guess as to whether or not that'll be trying to go in the NFL draft, say I've had enough of college, I just got to get myself into the National Football League. I don't know how much his stock has taken a hit, given the fact he's going to be coming off his third season-ending injury in 4 years. I don't know if it behooves him to come back and show that he can stay healthy or if he's just say, you know what, I got to go now. But I do anticipate he's going to be back on a football field after he rehabs his torn ACL.
Well, I think, look, he came back from a broken neck. ACLs are tough on running backs, and they take a lot of heat, but this guy is he's pretty talented. Somebody sent me a text today that made a comparison of him to Mike Gattis. I mean, they're kind of similar size. They have a similar running style where they're kind of loping and long-strided, and Mike Gattis tore up his ACL, and he never made it in the pros, and he's one of the best backs to play at OU, I think, as a collegian. We just didn't see a whole lot of him, so hopefully that won't be the case with Rodney Anderson.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, Marcus. All right, we will step aside. We had some other good audio for you. We'll play for you tomorrow, but Lincoln Riley very high on his special teams and happy with the performance of his defense these first couple of weeks. Mark is going nowhere. He's sticking around for the next hour with the missile and the ultimate. I will step aside and be with you tomorrow, same time, different place. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports.